You're tuning in to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads from over 200 countries and your number one source in after-show entertainment. TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Hey, all you Sword Art Online fans out there! Welcome back. This is episodes 23 and 24, Bonds and Gilded Hero. I will be leading the panel tonight. My name is Liz Rishmawi. Joining me tonight is the lovely Katie Cullen.
Hi, all my buddies.
And we have a special host helping us out today, Mr. Stephen Lemieux.
Hey, guys. I'm out of the booth for the episode. I'm taking Megan's place.
That's
for
what
today.
He looks
you
like.
You are not. She's taking Megan's place.
I'm taking Tari's place. I'm taking, okay.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, Stephen.
Yeah. Know, yay.
I got the same show.
All right.
I don't know.
We can't top that.
Yeah, so anyway, neither Megan nor Tari are here today, but they will be back.
Yes.
Yeah.
Damare. So anywho, right. Unfortunately, yes, like Katie said, Megan and Tari couldn't join us this week. They will be back next week to recap the very season finale, and we will have a few guests in the panel as well joining us.
I'm excited for next week's
very
guests.
Excited, and it's gonna be great because we are only capping the one episode, so we'll have lots of time to talk with our guests, and we'll tweet about that later. But anywho, starting off episode 23, Bonds. This is the episode where we find Kirito reconnecting with Leafa, and we actually see the battle where he gets to the top of the tree. What were your guys' thoughts on this episode?
It was a lot of fun. I liked that we actually got things figured out between mm-hmm. Sugu and Kirito. I like that they actually addressed it and that it didn't go on for the rest of the series.
Yeah, I feel like there's been so much with that. It's kind of like, okay, we get it. It's done. Now he knows. Now stop dwelling on it.
Closure. Closure is a lovely thing.
What about you, Steven?
I mean, I like the next episode a lot more than this episode, so yeah. I'll probably talk a lot more on that one. But
you and I are going to have to agree to disagree on that one.
Me and Katie have already been arguing about that, but yeah. We'll deal with that later. This episode was pretty good. It's kind of good that they did get the closure between Sugu and Kirito, but I mean, you know, you don't really think she's over with that, do
well,
you? Like,
time heals all wounds, so to speak. But like I said, you know, like we touched on just a second ago, you know, I'm glad that they didn't drag it out. And most of the episode was like the good action between actually trying to get Kirito to the top of the tree. Speaking of which, we do find a little more background about Kirito or Kazuto, why he distanced himself, trying to explain why he felt so awkward with how come he didn't really know how to react around Sugu. And how, you know, when he was 10, he found out that he wasn't real siblings, and that's why he went into the world of online gaming, because he felt more like he belonged there.
When he was 10.
Yeah.
That's like fifth grade.
Well,
yeah.
It's not only that. It gives a lot of background on Kirito himself, just because it kind of shows how somebody could raise you in such a way that you find out something when you're 10 unintentionally that kind of makes you have more of a distrust for people around you. Like, you, it's like it changes everything. So he didn't feel like you belonged in his family. He didn't feel like it was his real sister. And it kind of shows you why he's a solo player. It shows you why he moved to online gaming and why he doesn't associate with other people, because he's afraid to connect with other people.
Yeah. Although, you know, from a weird standpoint too, you know, it's not like he's just like this weird adopted kid or something. I mean, no, not that people who are adopted aren't really part of your family. But I just mean it's like he is really related to them, but you know, I guess it just shows everybody takes things differently. I mean, you know,
he's still not who he thought he was.
Yeah, exactly. So,
well, it's kind of just being out of the know. I mean, if she was adopted and he was adopted, right?
Yeah, it was his cousin, his aunt. It's Sugu's his cousin. Her mom is his aunt,
and her mom's the one who's been raising him.
Yes,
correct?
Yes.
So it's just,
God knows what happened to his parents.
Accident, I think. I don't know.
Yeah. It's like that's why parents should really tell their kids when they're younger.
Yeah.
Is because it's not that it's a huge thing. It's, well, I mean, it is a huge thing, but it's not like it's like a huge betrayal.
Yeah.
It's just the fact that you're in this family with people who you think you can trust, who you think are like always there for you. And
this one thing.
You're kind of like, you're kind of the outsider in this big whole secret, like this funny little secret that nobody told you about. When she knew, when her mom knew, when her dad knew, like.
Well, she didn't know.
She didn't know.
Well, she found out. But
she
yeah.
found out,
yeah.
like, when he
when
was,
he
in,
was
coma.
In a coma.
You know,
yeah.
he was still in Sword Art Online. So, yeah, you know, and I see how that is. But, again, you know, they just it was just a nice little thing to connect and explaining his background, his reasoning. Again, like Steven said, it explains a lot about why he distanced himself from people. But, yeah, so basically.
Digimon did it with slightly less incest.
Yeah, yeah, well.
Digimon.
But anywho.
Game of Sword Art Online Thrones.
So he basically, you know, he tells her that, you know, I'm going to meet you back in the game. Meet me here. So, you know, she goes in and she kind of scolds herself for saying, I don't know why I'm so mad at him. I'm the one who pushed him to follow his heart and, you know, stick by Asuna's side and all this other stuff. So, you know, she's conflicted. So she goes back into the game. Where we run into our favorite very socially awkward, not knowing how to talk to women character, Rekkon.
This poor dumb kid.
Yeah.
This poor dumb
kid. Why is he dumb?
Well, he's just socially awkward. He just does not know how to talk to the opposite sex, and especially if he was ever just her friend first. He, like I said, he reminds me of Melvin from Sailor Moon. He's just very awkward.
She beats me up. She must love me.
Well, I thought it was funny that, like, you know, he basically confesses his love to her, you know, after he says very proudly he poisoned all the salamanders and escaped to meet Leafa, and he
How did he manage that? They had him dead in a sewer.
He wasn't even dead. He was just drowning underneath paralyzed underwater, which I thought was funny, but
see, that I would have actually loved to have seen.
Yeah,
I realize it's not with our main characters, but I want to see how that went down because wow,
yes,
it was probably a lot of water and a lot of blue.
Yep. So he,
gee, thanks for that.
Yeah, so he basically he tells her that he loves her, and of course it's awkward, like puckering his lips, and she of course says stop it and punches him, and he falls down the stairs. I thought it was funny that she seemed more upset and concerned with punching his avatar in a video game where he probably didn't get hurt that much, as opposed to when she clocked him at school when there really wasn't as much of a reason to hit him.
There's
she seems more terrified
based
here.
Based on violence.
Yeah, not healthy. But,
no.
You know, so she kind of goes off and you know, she tells him, like, I don't think I'm going to be hanging out with him anymore. The reason he confessed his love was because he saw how sad she looked and he didn't like it. Again, and then, you know, that happens, whole thing, blah, blah, blah. She runs off to meet up with Kirito, and she challenges him to another rematch, to the duel, which I thought, okay, all right, I like this. I like how they showed the flashbacks between their duel, it's Kendo, right?
Yes.
You know, so they show this, you know, this duel, and...
So that's why he has that really weird stance.
Yeah, explaining
this
to him,
makes a lot
no wonder
sense.
He's all calm, and I'm like, oh, that's how you fight in the game, now that she gets it.
And because he had to do it for 2 years for his life.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, with practice swords, probably not as big of a deal.
Yeah, so... They give up the duel. In other words, like, they're fighting, it's really cool, but then, like, halfway through, she just kind of falls, lets go of the sword, and is shocked when he catches her, when I guess she was expecting him to just...
Kill her?
In the game. Yeah.
Well,
the sword.
This whole season she's wanted to fall on his sword, and now he doesn't give it to her.
You're done. You're done. Why did we invite you on here?
Yeah.
You're done.
It's like, you read the book. You're
so
a book guy.
I got two people against me right now.
Yeah.
And you're between me and the wall.
It's just, this episode was very cheesy. It was very cheesy, like...
The relationship connections, I think, were... I mean, we're going to get into the battle a little bit more, but I love the battle part, but these were things that needed to happen.
Oh, yeah, they did.
Yeah, and like I said, they didn't go on about it. The little rematch duel fight didn't go on for that long. The whole thing about her saying, why am I mad at him? Why he's explaining why he distanced himself. None of those took up a lot of time in the episode.
And they each thought, oh, well, I'll throw the duel and it'll make the other person happy, and then we'll all be happy.
Yeah, and he apologizes to her.
Congratulations to everyone.
He explains his inner monologue he had near the beginning of the episode, explaining to her, I just didn't know how to react to you. You know, I was so distanced before and you never deserved that. But for me, the game isn't over until Asuna comes back. So I'm still here until she comes back and I'm sorry. And she says, well, until that happens, I'll be here to help you. So they have this nice, it's a closure. You know, it's a nice, okay, we're accepting what it is. We're going to work on our family relationship and we're going to tackle the quest. So she gets Rekkon and basically tells him, hey, we're going to go in here and we're going to get to the top of the tree. The three of us. It's going to be player one, you're player two, I'm player three. And I love that he's like, okay, yeah, sure. What?
Like, so, what are we? Are you? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is a suicide mission.
So they go in, and of course, we're back to from where we started with the last episode where he's fighting. But this time we have two sylphs with healing powers, basically throwing all the healing to Kirito as he's fighting in battle. And, you know, even Yui, when asked at the beginning, says this has basically been designed so no one could beat it. But with your
because
speed.
It's numbers.
Yes, but with your speed and your high. Your high skills and levels and everything, you might just be able to use your speed to get past it.
Potentially. We just got to clear away first.
And we have...
It's like death by fire ants.
Yeah.
They're not very big. They don't have very... They're not very difficult. But when there's 1,000 of them on you, you don't really think about that. You think about the fact that you're covered in ants.
Yeah. And you look like you want to say something, Steven.
No, I just don't like the image of being covered in
ants. Yeah, so, you know, Rekkon's helping out and stuff. He still kind of doesn't know what's going on. He's just in it. And that's when he, you know, they're healing Kirito, and that's when they notice that they're starting to get now targeted by these villain players or whatever, the
because
guards.
They're not like anything else in the game. Evidently, they have a different targeting system, which... Duh, this is the supposed final quest. Of course, it's going to be different.
And so, you know, that's when Rekkon turns to Leafa and says, this isn't just an ordinary battle for you. This is serious, huh? And she says, well, yeah, this is basically like a life or death thing. So he says, okay, no questions. And just kind of starts charging in and attacking these
things.
And I like to call them, like, they remind me of like really like the chess pieces in Harry Potter.
They look like dancer nobodies from Kingdom Hearts.
Or that, yeah.
They
a little
look
bit
like
of that.
Dancers.
A little bit of that. So
dancers have a habit of picking you up and throwing you headlong into the nearest wall.
Yeah, there you go. So he starts using a dark magic spell, which throws Leafa off guard and basically self-sacrifices himself. And
Rekkon used self-destruct.
It wasn't very effective. Well, it was at first, but maybe for like the first 5 seconds. And there's this giant hole in the numerous of thousands and thousands of these things. And just when I guess Leafa is still trying to heal Kirito, thinking this is hopeless, and she's about to get attacked, here comes cavalry.
Because they have that giant hole. And then they
it starts closing.
They respawn very quickly.
It's a hive. And that's when...
Can I just say, though, like, that scene where her and Rekkon are talking, I'm just like, you're in the middle of a battle and you're...
Am I saying it wrong? Is it Rekkon or Rekkon?
It's Rekkon.
It's Rekkon. It's like Rekkon. Well, I reckon, but it's Rekkon.
It's spelled Rekkon. They pronounce it Rekkon.
Yeah, it's pretty much
Rekkon.
You're
from North Carolina. You say Rekkon.
Anyway, it was just so... It was so Hollywood movie thing, like, where you have the timer going down from 10 seconds, and they're like, wait, we have to stop and have a full conversation here. While he's up there, like, getting stabbed and getting killed. They're, like, ignoring. They're not even healing anymore. They're just talking, like, yeah, so, what's going on? Like,
you know? I wonder what she meant, though. What threw me off that I didn't understand, and she's like, oh, no, he self-sacrificed himself, and he did something. It was worse than just a regular death.
They never say. Is worse? Does he just have to wait longer?
Maybe. I don't know. Maybe if
okay.
any...
So the interesting,
we're gonna make this.
The
yeah.
interesting thing about the show, and I mean the book, the light novel kind of includes more background.
Okay,
if that makes sense.
Well, in the book,
yeah.
No, I'm not going. Well, in the book, because it doesn't have specifics really. But if you've played MMOs before,
yes.
this whole story very very heavily includes Final Fantasy XI as well as World of Warcraft as well as some other. I mean, maybe League, not really though. But you have like an X Bloss, you can lose like durability in your items, you can lose different kind of things from dying. Mm-hmm. And there are certain things that if you die in a certain way, it can more heavily damage that. So basically he's saying, oh, he's taking a larger experience point loss, and he's taking heavier damage to his items.
Or he might have lost a lot more, like, before he regenerates or whatever.
Or something like that.
It's true.
Yeah, and what's also kind of interesting about kind of the gaming... what's so different between the show and if you were going to do a real RPG or something like that, you can't, like, this tower thing, you'd imagine they'd have a lot more information on it, because I think if the people are playing this game for so long, if you really don't have to jump through any hoops to attempt this final, like, boss area, uh-huh, you think people would have just been, like, throwing bodies at it time after time just to get more information on it, but apparently nobody's ever tried it before, it seems like.
But at the same time, we learned to find out...
Page.
Yeah, well, we learned to find out later that a lot of it is a lie anyway, so maybe those were things that people couldn't find out even if they did try. So, and like, you know, early in the season, we have been learning that a lot of people don't really go in big groups of teams, or at least different elf races. These were things that maybe no one could have found out, so.
Well, and just the comment about, oh, well, he's taking a higher death penalty. That was the, we're going to make you care about this. Yeah. Okay, we're done caring. Let's
move within
on.
2 seconds. But the cavalry comes in.
Audience.
And who should save them and save their butts in the nick of time? We have us, Sakuya and Alicia, with the cavalry of sylphs and the Catsies and their dragoons armies. Yes.
Basically, Kirito's harem comes and saves
them. Yes. And
if I were in this game, I'd be as a Catsie, because cat ears and dragon riding? Sign me up.
There you go.
I'm in.
There you go. And so, you know, we have them fighting through. They finally managed to get the money that Kirito had donated to them to help with this, to come battling through. And the funny thing about it is they really don't seem to care much. After he gets through, no one really seems to care to want to go with him, which I found interesting. It's like, what are you guys playing this game for? But irrelevant. You know,
like, nope. We're done.
Yeah, it was very focused. They knew that he was in a rush for whatever the reasons may be. So they were just there to help back him up. So, you know, they all fight through. I found it interesting that, you know, we see Alicia in battle and everything. Sakuya starts to get attacked, and before she even has a chance to draw her sword, Leafa jumps in and saves her. So I don't even know what Sakuya did aside from bossing people around so much, but we didn't really get to see her, like, battle skills.
I'm sure she has some sort of power, because you don't get to be the leader of an entire race without being able to personally back up your words.
I wanted to kind of see her in action, Leafa. So... that happens, and then finally we see Kirito manages to get through, and the entire army and cavalry falls back, with Leafa basically saying, go get him, Kazuto, you can do it. And we end off this episode with Kirito at this big door that is locked by system admin, and that's when he finds out, and Yui's saying, this is not a quest, this was never supposed to be open. This whole game, if someone was ever supposed to get through the hive, was never meant to be gone farther. No one would have been able to pass it, even if they passed the hive like Kirito did.
And it's possible that some people did manage to get through, and then they hit the door and it won't open.
And
so
then they die.
Well, that's why they think there's a missing quest somewhere. There's some parameter that they think they didn't fulfill.
Yes, and they don't have a special program like Yui to tell them that. They don't have somebody telling them, no, it's not a quest. It's just never been designed for someone outside of an administrator to unlock it.
Yeah. The parameter is evidently be a sysadmin.
Yes. Ta-da. So we end the episode off with Kirito getting the bright idea of using the administrator card that Asuna dropped down from the cage to open this door. And then
Chekhov's admin access.
Yes. And then we get the closing credits. So...
yay, we made it through. Now what?
Yeah, so going into the next episode, I do want to just take a moment to tell you guys, thank you so much for watching us and commenting to us on YouTube. Please go on to iTunes. We do over, 80 hours of content here at AfterBuzz, and we do it all. We're all fans here. You know, we're all doing this at the love of the shows that we recap, and we really appreciate the support. We are going to be doing more shows like this. All the anime fans out there have been really supportive and happy we started doing it. Please go to iTunes, rate us 5 stars if you could. Comment. We always love seeing your comments. And of course, before Katie even gets a chance to tell you, no spoilers, please.
Yeah.
I haven't watched, what's the next season?
The finale?
No, not the finale. I've seen that, but what's the
next? Gun Gale Online?
Gun Gale.
I haven't I haven't watched that yet either.
I haven't seen any.
You guys, I've only ever had one person in the AfterBuzz comments drop a spoiler, and it was not for this show. So, AfterBuzz commenters are really, really good at not spoiling people. Please keep up the good work.
But I'm not really good at not spoiling people, so...
Well, you can shut the heck up.
I'm going to go ahead and give iTunes shout-outs, because I don't think you guys have actually done that on the show yet.
No, not yet. Go ahead.
Shout-out to Kaze369, Anime on AfterBuzz. No way! It's great to see two anime shows on AfterBuzz TV. Actually, we have like four or five now. Hosts have great opinions, and they keep the show funny and loose. Tell your bosses or your bosses you guys are doing a great job. Great show with great hosts. River Dragon 83, wonderful to hear many opinions in this groundbreaking series. The panel chemistry is definitely present. You can hear it in their voices. I love how they wrangle special guests from the series. Staff, 5 stars, no question. I'll be a loyal subscriber until the series ends. Luckily, there's other shows to hear from on AfterBuzz TV Network as well.
Wow.
Proper _T, go Team Anime and AfterBuzz TV. Yay, I found my people. Please do more anime on AfterBuzz TV. I really enjoy your mature, real-world view of anime cultural differences included. I love your serious, not-so-serious approach. Keep it up. Love the show by Blink16226. Great show. Great podcast by Ronnie5C. The S After Show is amazing. The hosts are very amazing. Their insights into the show keep me coming back for more. Thanks for your awesome work. Awesome.
I'm having an asthma attack listening to him and not take a breath.
Awesome by Tales of Gaming. Arrow Up. That's it. Do more anime, please. Love it by Chibi Christie. More anime after shows, please. Heart or less than 3. Yeah, anime after shows. Mirajsky. MARAJSKY. Mirage Sky. We need more anime shows on AfterBuzz TV.
That's what trips you up?
3 exclamation points. Awesome podcast. 5 stars by KUKUPMAT27. Cool anime podcast. Guys, if you want a shout out on the show, go ahead and give us a shout out on iTunes while you give us 5 stars.
And just, I guess, if you couldn't catch all that, just listen to it in slow-mo or something. So he's like, you know. Because you're talking really fast like that, and I can understand everything you're saying because I'm a really fast talker. I'm also from New York originally, and I have ADHD. Like, whoa, so I can actually catch
and
up with everybody. But everybody listening.
Okay, boy. Okay, boy.
Going on to episode 24, Gilded Hero. So
this one.
Yeah, this one. Okay, so everybody already knows, Katie and me. Yeah. So we go in, and Yui and Kirito are in the hallway because they went through the door. And, of course, I love how... they're in the hallway that, you know, Asuna found herself in, and Yui's just, I sense mommy nearby, and we don't need keys or mallets, just like, mommy, mommy, like running through these doorways. And she
opening
gets
a secret doorway in the side of a hall
for
one of them, just like,
but
get
she,
out the way.
My favorite, though, is when she gets to the, you know, they get there, and then, well, first of all, of course, Kirito notices this whole thing's a freaking fraud. There's no city in the sky.
Well, and Yui's in her actual small child form. She's
in
not a pixie
the original
right now.
Form that they knew her from on Sword Art Online. But again, and we already knew this, too. It's not a surprise to us that there's no city because, of course, you couldn't get through the door. So it makes sense that there's no actual city or quest for people to earn wings.
Just
birdcages. Can I just say, I know this is skipping ahead a little, but how much simpler would it have been for Kirito if he logged into Sword Art Online, or not, to Alfheim Online for the very first time, and he had a message that said, like, subject line, Heathcliff login info. And it was just like, oh, great, I can log in as Heathcliff, and then just find Asuna and let everyone log out.
Yeah.
Oh my god, season two's over.
You couldn't have waited 10 minutes?
I couldn't, no.
No, you couldn't wait, yeah. Well, anyway, for it shouldn't have been a spoiler if you're listening to the show right now, obviously. I said at the top of the show which episodes we're doing, so you should have known that that was a thing that happens. Anyway, but...
if they're listening to this show, I'd hope that they've already seen these particular
episodes.
Well,
that's what I'm saying. So, you know,
yeah.
Not like it was a spoiler, but thank you,
Steven.
Your
own damn fault.
but, and I also found it funny when they get to the cage. Of course, Asuna's all teary-eyed, but again... we don't need a door. Yui's just like, cage, no. Like, just, mommy.
I'm sitting there yelling, okay, you've opened the door. Get out of the cage.
That's what I was thinking,
don't
too.
Run in there with her.
I thought
get
that it would, like, relock. It's like, can we hug and kiss later, do this later? I mean, obviously, she can't see Yui outside the game. It's like, hug her, get the hell out.
You guys are just glad. Like, you guys are just sad that the slugs aren't in this one.
No, I'm quite... we had enough of the rapey...
I can hit you.
Hentai stuff.
You're sitting next to me.
Listen, blondes, simmer down. So
I'm being nice. He's making me angry.
So
he wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
All right, Hulk.
She-Hulk. Get it right.
So
I'm even in green.
There you go. Yeah. Or aqua. It's an aqua.
Close enough.
So suddenly everything goes black.
There's a reunion, and then all of a sudden, before they can even get to a console, as Yui's saying, no, I can't log mommy out from here. Something bad is coming, Yui says, as this... very reminiscent to the very first opening of Sword Art Online when everybody gets sucked into a hole that never actually happened in the first part of that arc, gets sucked down. Yui just kind of pixelate vanishes. So they're freaked out what happened to her. And
that,
of course,
was pretty bad. That was us sitting there going, no, 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 no.
Yeah.
And don't you take her from us.
We have gravity weighing them down. And of course, Tsugo laughing like the maniacal cliche evil villain that he is. Coming in, King Oberon prefers, as he is preferred to be called.
Don't call me by my slave name.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Seriously, bro?
Yeah. And, you know, of course, weighs down and says, it's so clever that you got here, you know, and I hope you like my new gravity magic. That's going to be with the new upcoming, the upgrade for the game.
It's a little overpowered.
Yeah. You know, and basically is trying to ask Kirito how the heck he managed to get that far, and Kirito is not going to tell him, and he says, well, then I could just read your mind, and goes on to brag about how this whole experiment with the 300 you know, people from Sword Art Online who've never logged out experimenting on them and how successful it is and how excited he is that he's basically a god.
Now, before I kill you, let me tell you in extreme detail my entire plan so you know how to
you
foil
do.
It.
As you do.
pretty much.
Shout out to Todd Habercorn for his portrayal of Oberon.
There you go.
Beautiful, beautiful portrayal.
Thank you for
awful
letting me
character.
Hate you.
Great acting.
Yeah, there you go.
No, it's interesting because
that's
even,
where we need to draw the line is, because we may have him on later.
These are actually like the first episodes I've watched with the English dub.
Yeah.
Because I'm really into just hearing it as it was made.
Yeah.
Because I honestly, I'm not a big fan of English dubbed anime.
You're that guy.
Well, no,
no
I
it's more just it's more just I feel like the when it's originally done is how I want to watch it.
Yeah, and I understand that. And I like I said, I've said in a, I don't know if it was this I don't know if it was on this show. I think it was. I think it's when we had a couple guests in, and I was basically joking about how much I used to hate English dub. But this was back earlier in the 90s and early 2000s when
dubbing was essentially terrible.
Yeah, you know, when we had watching Dragon Ball Z and Vegeta's like, explodes an entire city, and he's like, you're lucky everybody escaped. And it's like, no, they died. Just say it. Just say they died. So,
well, it's just interesting.
90s
it's,
anime is fun to watch.
It's weird to me because when I watch it, I understand the appeal to, like, of course, it's on Toonami. Like, it's a very...
Yeah, and if you're not very good at focusing, when you want to focus on the artwork and stuff, or if, like, maybe you're busy and you're trying to do two things at once and you don't speak Japanese.
Let me say what I was going to say. It's like, I like Bryce Papenbrook. Papenbrook in a lot of the work he does. But when I look at Kirito and I look at the American dub, I'm kind of put off a little bit because it's such a different way of playing the character than I'm used to.
Okay.
Because he's so calm. Like, he's so calm and collected usually as Bryce.
Yeah.
And when you go into the Japanese version, it's like, it's a little bit more guttural. It's a little bit more like antsy and just like,
I mean, I've seen, I used to watch.
There's more suspense there,
yeah.
I feel.
I used to watch, when we started doing this panel, I was watching the series just with the subtitles. But then most of our guests, you know, unfortunately, we don't really have access to obtaining the guests from Japan to come in. And so we do have these wonderful, amazing American voice actors come in and, you know, do the show with us. So we want to obviously watch it in the dub so we can comment on their work. But for what it's worth, and especially lately with how a lot of these new series are coming with the dub work, they're doing a good job. They're trying to make it so it's similar enough to the character's portrayal in Japanese,
trying
to keep some of that real.
We're out of the 90s.
I'm not throwing anyone under the bus. I'm not saying it's bad.
No, I know. It's just
I'm just used to.
I'm
putting it in a different way because I know a lot of people kind of agree that the characters, as they are good in this version, they're good in the other version. If you're not used to one or the other, you will not like it in some ways.
Yeah.
So when I look at Todd's portrayal of Oberon, it's spot on.
Yeah.
It is the exact same character.
Yeah, that's how I felt about Full Metal Alchemist. I thought they had Alphonse and Edward Elric exactly the same in Japanese.
Spot on. But when you look at like some of the other characters, you're like,
it's a little different.
It's weirder.
It's a little different.
But like this scene, this was very well done in the American dub as well as the Japanese dub, and it's probably one of the darkest scenes of the entire series.
Oh, God, yes. I mean, just for so many reasons. Because not only do we have this villain that is trying to harm other, because again, we always say that the villains usually think they're doing good for whatever their view of good is,
but this is the main character of their
own story. Yes, but this is the villain. This is genuinely just a bad dude who wants what he wants just for himself. He knows he's a bad dude, and he's also creepy, and he sexually harasses women.
Well, no, that's not where his character is coming from, though. His character is coming from a place of he's always been the lesser, and that's why it's such a dagger in his heart with what happens with Kayaba Akihiko, because as you learned earlier in the season, and I think you learned before that, was that he was the understudy. He was always the lackey for Kayaba. So when he inherited the company, it was like he wanted to take it where he was going, which is completely in conflict with what Kayaba wanted to do. But when people are fighting to be somebody else and fighting to be better than the person who they can no longer compete with because he's gone, it forces them off a cliff of just insanity. So they're not evil is the main character of their own story, as you always say. Yeah. But in this case, there's also a difference when you have a villain who is the main character of his own story and a villain who is insane for other reasons.
And I understand that, and I do agree with you to a point, but I will also say this.
Still not an excuse to molest people.
Yeah, well, here's the thing, because he's known, I can get where what he's saying, how now Kirito comes in, but he's known Asuna since she was young, and she's always hated him, but he could never be good enough for her, so we could say that too, but he might have just been a freaking creep, and that could have been even before his whole thing with Akihiko Kayaba. You know, he could have just always been this creepy dude who, that's why she never liked him.
Still not an excuse.
No, no one's excusing that. No one's excusing that, but we're trying to have a very adult intellectual look into the psyche of the bad guys.
And then we watch him get murdered.
Yeah.
Your argument is that you really hate that his character did this. Like, you think it's unneeded that his character did that to Asuna. Is that your argument?
It is stunningly unnecessary from a meta point of view. You can say, yes, we've created this character and he does X, Y, and Z because he's this character, but from a meta point of view, did you need to create that character? Did he have to molest this person? Did he have to do this
in order
to make him the villain, to make you hate him? Kidnapping 300 people and holding them hostage is bad enough.
Yes.
Is good enough reason to think he's a terrible
person. Okay.
But, and let me, okay, this is a story. This is a fictional thing of art. You need something to make it close to the character's home, because you tell me that 300 people are kidnapped in, like, halfway across the world. Yes, I'm like, That's messed
awful.
Up.
Yeah. He's
I'm
not holding like, Asuna and messing with her head. That's enough
for
Kirito
like,
to go back
but
in.
But I'm not like, oh my god, the pain in my heart is killer. It's not like somebody just took my brother and shot him in front of me.
Yeah.
So,
I get what he's saying.
I'm saying it's close to home. Just stop cutting me off. What I'm trying to say is that from a character point of view, this entire character was leading up to this part. It's not unneeded, because that's how he wrote the character to be this person.
Yes.
It makes him unlikable to the audience. It makes it more satisfying, and it makes it the way, like, any other character, if Kirito had done that to any other character, no matter how bad he was, if Kirito had done that to Kayaba Akihiko, who trapped all of them in game, killed thousands of people, you still would be like, damn. Mm-hmm. You'd be like, damn, that's a little messed up.
Yeah.
Because he never turned the pain to zero. He never did that kind of stuff. Like, that's messed up. You have to make it so close to the character's home that it would corrupt the character itself, and that's what they were going for. They're bringing Kirito out of that innocent place that he's kind of always been in to a place where he would do dark S to get back at the character who's done something so horribly wrong and wronged him and Asuna in such a horrible place. And if you don't understand that about the storyline, you're not going to like the story, but the scene was completely necessary. It's probably the only time I've seen like a scene like that in an anime that was necessary, because usually it's just, hey, let's put all these ass and titties in there for no reason.
Yes,
like, this had an express purpose. So when you tell me that it didn't make sense with the story, I'm just like, are you even watching the story?
I agree. And I get
that there are other ways that the story could have gone and gotten a similar result.
Well,
he'd messed with Asuna's mind and made her the final boss.
Okay, so
the guy's a creep, so you look at
he didn't have to be.
You look at the only other way the story could have gone, it would have been him doing that to Suguha.
Yeah, I'm going to try to move forward a little bit because we weren't even up to the point where that all happens. But
yeah, this
for
is
the
a
record,
thing that we're not.
No,
gonna...
this is a very good discussion though, and Stephen, I'm very happy that you're part of the panel, and I would really hope that next time if you're ever in this, you know, in there, chime in a little bit more because this is a good discussion, and I hope our fans agree. But as much as, of course, us, and especially as women, it's disgusting and horrible and horrifying for us, everything Stephen has said is on the nail on the head. You know, we do need this kind of darkness. We need to hate. Again, if what he said, if Kirito did that kind of stuff to Akihiko, we'd be like, wow, that's like really messed up. That was a little far. That was a little much. But because this guy is so skeevy and it brought it home and he's doing something, not even just like hurting her physically, but doing all that messed up stuff to her, that he would go that far to save someone he loves. Yeah, it works, and I appreciate just, that point of view. It's really good, and it was well spoken.
I'm saying there are other ways to do that don't involve invoking the tropes of this strong woman that you liked is now the damsel in distress, but and look at all the awful things that are happening to her.
If it was the opposite, it'd be the same way. The problem lies.
If it was the opposite, it would be just as bad.
That's what I'm saying. It's the same way.
Yeah.
That's where you have to create conflict to have writing in a show.
Yes, and
you can't have everything be sunshine and gems. Because I'm not asking for everything to be
sunshine and gems. I'm asking for them to do something that's not a straight up rape plot.
And I'll list one movie as a reference: The Last House on the Left.
Yeah.
When you have somebody, terror comes when control is taken away from you. So having a strong female character like this, I understand that there's some scenes that were not needed, like the slugs.
Yeah, like the slugs.
But when you have a strong character like this, it gives you the sense of hopelessness when their power is completely taken away from them. Mm-hmm. And it's not that it's metaphorical imagery that she's in this cage and stuff like that and all that stuff. So that's kind of like whatever. Because in reality, she's just another brain in those jars.
And we roll our eyes too, because here's the thing. This is an anime. We know what Japan is. We know what Japan produces. And I think to us, and Katie, and I think I'm touching on this a bit for you, you think, oh, roll your eyes. Oh, God, Japan, stop with the women and the chains and the whole bondage kind of stuff. But we look at what we have. Look at Law and Order SVU. Look at all this stuff. Like, it's a plot point. It's things that actually happen in real life. And I think, from what Steven's saying, yes, if it wasn't for the slug stuff and all that stuff, I think that this would have been fitted. I think it's a good story to have. It's a good point of view to have for this villain to do what happens. Because you know what? Unfortunately, as much as we don't like that these things happen, they happen. They're things. And it brings a new story and interest plot to an anime and takes it to a new, darker level, but it helps the characters progress.
And I think when people become too sensitive to the point that writers cannot write about anything they want to, mm-hmm. that's when television's dead.
Exactly. And just in general. And then it's not something to talk about. And, you know. But anywho, moving
on
a bit.
I'm just saying they could have done it a different way.
Yes, but
they
didn't.
So you shouldn't dislike it for the way they've done it. You should be actually happy for the way it made you feel.
That you should be happy that
No, because if somebody can write something that affects you that much, it means they're accomplishing their goal.
And I would like to know that this is where they're going to go instead of signing up for Nobody Learned from Dot Hack, the sequel, the series, and winding up with some incredibly terrifying hentai.
All right,
that's
well,
not what
did
I
you
wanted.
Nuts?
We're gonna.
This is the kind. We have time.
Okay.
We have no show after us. We're
oh, good. We don't. So good. I didn't know that.
And I'm on the panel, so I control it. You're good. No, I mean not the panel, but like
yeah.
It's fine. Nick's in there. Nick's a cool guy. He's all good. Shout out to our engineer, Nick.
He's thumbsing up.
So, like, what I'm saying is you should be happy that a writer can take you to this place. Because if they couldn't, if honestly Kirito had killed this guy and they didn't have that whole molestation scene that pissed you off enough, honestly, you would probably be kind of like, oh, that was a cool death, and then move on. The fact that we're having this conversation means that the writing did its job.
Yeah.
The fact that we're having this conversation means that he's playing to the sensitivity of the
this
human nature.
This is the deepest the conversation
that
has
I
ever
enjoyed
got.
That death.
I'm not assuming that you enjoy anything, but I'm assuming that you're talking about the show and that it's something that was provocative to your sensitivities. And if somebody can play that, don't watch Sons of Anarchy if you don't like that, because holy crap, let me tell you, that show will just make you
Which
so
is
angry.
Also another SAO show. No, anyway.
After
oh, dang it.
SAO. We get those confused because this is...
No, it's SOA.
Sons of Anarchy. I know what network it's on. I know what the promos say, and I know what I'm getting into.
But you know
This is the worst kind of bait and switch. There is a huge, huge difference between going into Sons of Anarchy and going, I know it's about gangs. I know that it's going to entail rape and violence and whatnot. Okay, I got it. I'm mentally prepared. This is... These people are stuck in a video game.
So
great. So we're going to see video game mechanics.
So,
oh, and this girl almost gets raped by a tentacle
slug. Let me ask you.
What am I watching?
How did you assume you were not in a story that could get this dark when the plot line is people got trapped in a video game and could die? So what's worse, Asuna getting molested for 3 minutes or 1,000 people freaking getting killed with their family never getting a chance to say goodbye, 1,000 people getting killed, never to be seen from again, just a heart attack because they're trapped in this machine?
And also, for the record,
I was getting into with the people are stuck in a death game. Been there, done that, seen this trope, know the risks. The fact that it turns into this awful sexual molestation, which was not on the box, which was not warned for, it's just, by the way, now this is what happens.
So you can kill people, but you can't molest people.
Well, here's the thing. Katie.
You can kill people, but you can't molest people if you're going to tell me that you're killing people, but you're not going to tell me that, by the way, this is also on the books.
Okay, I want to interject a little bit because I think that, you know, feelings are rising here. And again, I think this is personally,
cool.
I'm very much enjoying this topic and I think it's great. And I hope our listeners are still tuned in. And I'm thinking this is probably the best conversation we've had in the season thus far. Because obviously, like Steven said, if it's invoking this much feeling and emotion and discussion out of us, the writer did his job. And I will say, as much as a woman and watching something who has experienced things in my life, that these kind of topics can and very much do affect me negatively from a writer's perspective and watching how it went down. One, it was done in a very, because we have to get into it more, you know, it was done in a very artistfully way. It could have been worse. Again, the ratings, you know, there's proper censorship, you know, there was... He's touching and licking her face. We didn't really go into seeing him touch her.
Can I just say all I thought of in that scene was when Cartman killed Scott
Tenorman. Oh, my God, yes.
Your tears.
Anyway.
She's not amused.
It's funny.
I'm just saying you can hate that they went that way, but if you hate it, I want you to at least accept the fact that you understood why they went that way.
And I agree. And I think for all intents and purposes, because at the very beginning of this part of the show, we did see him being creepy in the very beginning, one of the very first episodes, smelling her hair. So it was foreshadowed very early into this arc that something like that might happen.
And
the snail thing was unnecessary.
The name Sword Art Online, in which things like that did not.
Okay, but it did.
And it's not even just him smelling the hair. It's the fact it was actually subtle, the comments they made in the show.
Yes.
To tell you that, you know, he's already done stuff to her body in real life.
Or insinuating that he wanted to. I mean, we won't go there. But
no,
again,
they heavily insinuated that he's already done it. Like, not sex, but, like,
yes,
molested her.
And he
already.
did those things about how, you know, wanting to enjoy himself with her here and then watch the video with her real body in the hospital. It's very
You'd
dark.
You'd think the nurses would notice that.
It's very dark. And again, it is a very uncomfortable
Kirito
thing.
Kirito got up out of a coma and walked around for a bit before a nurse.
I know.
That's true, but
I know.
In a cheap
hospital. Basically, this hospital
he woke
isn't
up in
doing
Silent
well.
Hill. So, she's in an expensive hospital. You'd think the nurses would notice someone bringing in an Apple TV and a projector
yeah.
and being like,
so,
what are the noises coming from that room?
So basically, you know, we have that happened. I'm very interested to see the comments from our fans to see what they think about this. I think this is a really good topic to
All
continue.
All I can think of is the nurses like walking by the door and from behind the door you're,
you think we should check?
But,
I don't know if they pay us enough to check.
But it happens. He gets pinned down with the sword, gravity. He's basically giving up. And that's when we hear that voice, are you giving up? And we've heard the voice before. We knew who it was. It happened to be Akihiko Kaiba. And he's basically judging Kirito, like, why are you giving up? You're basically giving up. You know, like, the person who showed against this giant gaming system that your will was stronger than that of the programming, you know, what are you doing? So that's when, as, you know, Sugo is doing his thing and being gross and hateful. He gets up and he starts logging into the system command, login Heathcliff, sets Oberon to level 1. And then that's when we really start the finishing layouts of defeating, quote-unquote, this villain.
Well, he doesn't set him to level 1. He just sets
No. He actually set
his security access to level 1.
Access to level 1. And then he tries to generate the legendary weapon Excalibur. Can't do it, obviously. And then Kirito actually generates it for him and gives it to him. Like, here, okay, cool, dude. I'm gonna still break you down without the legendary weapon.
I have to talk about this as fan service, and this has nothing to do with like the scene in the show. So, guys, if you get a chance to read the light novels, you really should, because there's a huge backstory to why he summoned Excalibur.
Okay, because it did seem kind of out of there. It's like, okay, Excalibur.
The Excalibur thing is like a really cool story that they have in the light novels that lasts kind of a long time, in that they go down underneath Alfheim to this city that's like frozen lakes and all these gigantic creatures, and they find this one creature. It's like this secret quest they find with a creature that has intelligence, mm-hmm. that usually would attack them, but instead it lets them ride on it, and it's taking them around these islands with, like, things. And in the distance in this storyline, they see a gigantic glacier with the golden sword of Excalibur frozen inside of it.
Oh, cool.
So it's kind of, the show is throwing it back because they can't really take, because they summon Excalibur in the light novel as well, but it's a really, really cool side story. Probably one of the best stories of the series,
that they unfortunately didn't put into the animation,
but if you guys get a chance, read it. It's really cool, and it really makes the whole summoning Excalibur more badass.
Relevant.
When you read it. You're like, oh, shiznit.
Because
it shows how hard it would have been you see, like, a hunting group that's, like, level 150 or something down there. Yeah. They're, like, having trouble and getting killed by these things. So it's, like, really, really difficult.
So it brings the comment that Kirito said about laughing about how easy that was to summon this legendary weapon. Gives it to him. Still sets the pain absorbers to zero. Oh, and that's when, again, going back to what Steven said before, this is when we have Oberon flipping out at Kaiba, noticing that, oh, that was his login, you know, and he's always getting in my way, and the whole thing about him being second best to someone. That's when Kirito says, that's the difference, is he was my enemy too, but I never wanted to be Kaiba. And, you know, he never wanted to be Kaiba. So he basically cuts his face. Ow.
Well, and they make the point that when it's at 10, fine, you can't feel anything.
If it gets below 3, that's when it starts to affect you, your body physically.
Well, it's also kind of this whole thing where when you have, like, a James Bond movie, you want something that is ironically satisfying.
Yeah.
So when you have Kaiba, who's been experimenting with these people's brains and, like, experimenting with the pain and the different receptors in it.
Yeah.
The way he goes out is ironically satisfying. That's why I told you guys.
The whole thing is juicy in general. It's just because you've been messing with people, and now it's going to affect you. And again, with the whole, like, I'm glad that this kind of level of pain could come to someone so skeevy and disgusting to screw with somebody both mentally and physically, like he did with Asuna. And basically we have him getting his face cut, then his hand gets cut off. I mean, this is like all effortlessly boom, boom, boom. He never even gets anything in to Kirito.
Because he's got zero combat experience.
Cuts him in half so Kirito can basically pick him up by the hair and look at his petrified, pathetic, wimpy little whiny face.
This is like the most, this is probably one of the darkest scenes
it really is.
Ever, because you really gotta imagine it, like, you can't die.
Yeah.
Like, it reminds me of, I forgot what movie it was. Was it Death Becomes Her or something? Where she gets chopped up in all these.
Gross. Anyway,
you can't die, but you can
feel pain on a level zero.
As if you're in the real world.
Yeah.
So you get your whole hand cut off, which you're like, this really sucks. Then you get cut in half. I'm not going anywhere tomorrow.
He throws him up, and it's not even just like, I'm like, is he going to cut off his head or what? He doesn't even, like, cut him in half. He basically just shoves the skewers him right smack in the face, and we have this very dramatic, like, okay, we are so used to the pixelated crystal prettiness of when people died in Sword Art Online. We have a blood geyser, people. We have a blood geyser.
Stick
it's very
that
pretty.
On the wall of King's Landing.
Hey, it's a pixel geyser. We're in a game.
No, it was very bloody, like, liquidy looking.
Like,
it was.
Maybe you bleed in the game if you set the pain level.
I have no idea. I mean, it's not like the blood stayed on the ground anywhere. It did evaporate or vanish, but still, it was very dramatic.
Kirito wins.
Did you like
fatality?
Yes.
Did you guys like the Star Wars imagery though?
What?
It was Star Wars imagery. You know, the famous poster of Luke with this lightsaber.
Oh my god,
it
was.
And I thought it was also kind of He-Man.
Yeah, he's definitely He-Man.
But I was just like, oh, it's Luke with a lightsaber.
Yeah, well, you know, it's in a lot of things. But so he frees Asuna. They have this very tender moment where she's still kind of topless, and now he's basically like not noticing that her boobies are there, but it's a very like kind of tender breakdown of what just happened, because he's just mortified that she had to go through that when he felt helpless. So again, I feel if anything good were to, as much as Katie, you don't like the fact that this was part of the what happened, I felt that we wouldn't have had this breakdown of the characters reaching that emotional level where Kirito, obviously he loved her in the beginning, but now just to have had her go through that and break down and her saying, I always knew you were always my hero. I always had faith that you would protect me.
He loves her so much he can't say generate item ID clothing.
Yeah, I don't, well. But he weeps.
Still could have had like that a baby level without the molestation, but
anywho,
we've been over that.
And he frees her, logs her out, and says he'll see her at the hospital. And then we have that moment with Akihiko Kayaba, basically explaining, you know, when he's like, you're alive. He's like, well, I'm more of like an echo in the program. Greets him, you know, explaining to him, it's not like we're exactly friends. So my help and assistance didn't come just because of that.
He's a scientific.
Yeah, everything comes with a price. He gives Kirito this seed, which is a new world.
So what's really interesting to me about this is because from my memory, I thought he gave him the world seed at the end of Sword Art Online and not Alfheim Online.
No.
And I was wrong, and I think I might have said something on an after show a while back about
you
the world seed.
I think the commenters got a little unhappy about
it. Yeah.
Because I totally...
You mixed it up a bit.
I mixed it up because I thought he got it after that and they made Alfheim from this.
Yeah, because
no.
I remember you mentioning that and I'm looking at you like, the hell are you talking about?
Yeah, but no, this... So the world seed he gets at the end of Alfheim and they're
Alfheim.
Really, Alfheim.
Learn your German. I'm just saying.
I speak German, so I'll say it how I want.
Alfheim.
So, the interesting thing about this scene is, in the American and the Japanese version, it's a different line that Kayaba leaves him with. And if you have any love for the virtual world, you'll keep it safe or whatever, right?
Uh-huh.
It's not as obvious as that in the original story. The original story just says, if you have any love at all left for that world, like, just subtly referencing the world of, what do they call it in Sword Art?
Sword Art? Shoot. If you had an Aincrad.
Aincrad. So he just subtly mentions Aincrad, saying, if you have any love at all for that world. He doesn't say the virtual, it's just that world. Because it's kind of like, you spent 2 years there. Like, do you have the nostalgia? Like, if I went back and played Final Fantasy XI right now, I'd like just walk around and just like think of like the memories and things of like playing in different areas. So like,
Let's go back to the place where we were stuck in a death game for 2 years.
But they had a life there. It was a life. It was
a
living.
Everyone wants that nostalgia. So it was an interesting line, and I think it was a lot more powerful than when they changed it to the virtual world. Because it's like, really, the virtual world?
Yeah, it's like
back to Digimon.
Video games.
Yeah.
So, you know, so we have that. He gives it to him, and Yui was... He gets sent back to the scene with the cage, and Yui, you know, he finds out Yui's okay. She said, I was just hiding in the memory of your nerve gear bank. And he says, well, you know, mommy's safe. She's home. Yui's happy. And she says, don't worry, daddy. You know, I'm safe to your nerve gear, so you always, you know, be able to have me see me. He thanks her and, you know, kisses her, logs out. He thanks Sugu. And that's when Sugu's like, you better go to the hospital. She's going to be wondering where you are. And we leave off with him riding off into a snowfall at night and rushing off to get to Asuna, which I feel like I was actually surprised there was another couple episode after this, but I did already see the episode. No spoilers for Katie or
any. You watched it already?
Yes,
you
I did.
Know what gets me about this? He didn't log anyone else out. There's still 299 people stuck in Alfheim.
We'll find out what happens. I mean,
those people might be important.
And like we said in an earlier episode, too, when I said I thought that they were just stuck in the game like Asuna, and somebody else mentioned, no, they're just kind of like in like limbo, basically still stuck in the hospital beds, but they're not actually playing the game.
They tell you about the 300 people next episode.
They do. So
I'm sure
we will find
out. I just thought it was hysterical that he bailed without logging them out. It's like, good job, sis.
I don't know about you, but I think after that entire thing he's been through, the first thing I want to do is log out to see Asuna too. So
I think if he can stick around long enough to have the presence of mind to talk to Kayaba, he can have the presence of mind to go, oh yeah, there's 299 other people who are having this issue.
Mm.
Right click.
Anyway.
Log out. Done.
So that wraps up episode 24, Gilded Hero, you guys.
Thank God.
I want to thank everybody so much for tuning in.
We're doing predictions? Or?
Oh, well, you should do predictions, yes. Thank
no.
you.
Basically just
no,
kidding.
Because you've seen it, you've read it, and
no,
I'm
I can
ready
now,
to be done.
I've seen it, too.
Predictions. Go ahead, Katie. It's all on you, girl.
I think it'll be the end of the series next week, and then we'll move on to Gun Gale.
All right.
Ta-da.
It's the same series though, Tony.
Well,
the
to be honest with
season,
you
hush.
To be honest with
we're not really going to change. We're going to change this and put the two on it.
Yeah.
But we're going to put it on the same podcast, so you guys don't have to subscribe to
there you
different.
Go. I was going to say just
we'll
before
still be here.
Before I watched the end episode, I did think it was going to be. It was going to be just a wrap up. I thought that they were just, you know, he's going to see Asuna. We're going to find out what happened to Sugo. Yeah, because it's so close to Sugo.
I'd love to see him get arrested.
And
that would be the ending that would make me happy.
And kind of see where it goes from there. I thought it was going to be like a wrap up. And I know that since there's the other Gun Gale is coming on, I didn't know if it was going to lead into that season or lead. Like, I didn't know what was going to happen with that. I thought maybe it would lead off into what could happen for the following series. So. That's what my predictions were. I don't want to give it away. We're done. So thank you guys again so much. We will be back next week with a season finale with a bunch of guests. And tune in to that. Tweet us. And speaking of tweets, Katie, where can the people find you?
You can find me on Twitter and Tumblr at Kiaxet. That's K-I-A-X-E-T. I am also on the Attack on Titan, Classic Who, and Ruby panels, and on the upcoming Z Nation panel. You can find Tari on Twitter at Tari J, T-A-U-R-I-J-A-Y, and Megan on Twitter at The Menguin, T-H-E-M-E-N-G-U-I-N.
So word. Basically, Katie lives here now.
Yeah, Steven.
Six panels!
Seriously.
Steven is
guys,
a...
you can find me in the booth here all the time. You can find me
he
on Twitter
sleep.
At Stephen Lemieux, S-T-P-H-E-N-L-E-M-I-E-U-X. Starting up on Sons of Anarchy, if you are not that sensitive about rape and murder and things like that, you will probably watch Sons of Anarchy, and you can check out the after show here as well as The Strain later tonight and MasterChef on Mondays. Guys, go ahead and go to iTunes, rate, comment, subscribe, leave us 5 stars, and comment on YouTube, no spoilers, or Katie and Liz will be awfully sad.
Tell us you love us.
Hello.
We
and
love you too.
I am Liz Rishmawi. You guys can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Lizzie Maui. That's L-I-Z-Z-Y-M-A-W-Y. You can also find me tomorrow hosting with episode 3 of the Doctor Who panel, and I'm trying to pick up some more shows, guys. Don't worry, I will be around. And that's about it.
See you guys next week.
Next week, yeah.
The last one of this season.
Da-da-da.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.